Luke chapter number 11, and we'll start reading verse number 1, and then we will read down through verse number 13. So Luke 11, 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his help. I am excited about our message this morning. I believe it'll be very helpful to us. And so let's pray and ask God help and blessing upon his word. Father, we thank you for this precious and holy book that we hold in our hands. And thank you that there is a final authority in this life. There is a final resting place for all faith and practice. Lord, we thank you that we know about heaven. We know about our Heavenly Father, who he is, his great care toward us from this precious book. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry on this earth. We thank you for this lesson on prayer, and I pray that you would, just by your Holy Spirit, teach it to us. I pray that you would apply the Word of God to our hearts. I pray that we would be encouraged, motivated, strengthened in our prayer life, in our walk with you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're in a series on Sunday mornings, and that is a series on the greatest stories ever told, talking about the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a parable means to cast alongside of. It's a measuring tool. It's a comparison, something on earth, how the economy of heaven works. Here is something we can compare to on this earth, to how God works in heaven. And this particular parable is given in contrast to our prayer life. It is told out of request, and actually a prayer request. And what is this prayer request? Praying is asking and receiving things from God. So here is a prayer request. Lord, teach us to pray. So what's the story? Middle of the night. Some of you have been in the Middle East and understand that it is very hot during the day. Only good for one thing, and that is taking a nap. Right? You never understood a siesta until you go someplace where it is overwhelmingly oppressive in heat. And you think, there's nothing that I can do. I might as well go to sleep. Well, this is the era, and this is where there's an area where the Lord Jesus Christ had his ministry, and these are the people to whom he's speaking there in the Middle East, there in the land of Israel, saying that a traveler comes to someone at night. So why did they come at night? Because that's when they traveled in the cool of the night. So this is a crisis that would have taken place that they would have understood in their own lives, that sometimes, right in the middle of the night, you have a crisis that takes place, someone shows up at your door, and you must feed them. You must be hospitable towards them. Of course, Jesus, even in this pattern of prayer that he gives, he says, give us day by day our daily bread. But the thing they didn't have in the Lord's time was preservatives, okay? I mean, you can keep a loaf of Wonder Bread, I think, out for about 6 years before it goes bad, right? But in Jesus' day and age, no preservatives. I mean, everything was gluten-free, right? And only lasted one day. One day. And that was it. Every single day, you had to prepare your bread for that day. Well, these people who received the guests obviously ran out of bread, and they needed something for their neighbor. And so they went to their neighbor. The Bible says this man was a friend. I don't think he was a very good friend. They went to a friend and said, knocked and called out to his friend and says, I have travelers at night. Lend me 3 loaves of bread. No, I can't do that. My children are in bed and the door is now shut and I cannot come to you. Persistence here. Give me this bread. I need this bread. And it says not because he was a good friend, but because of his importunity, he finally got what he has asked for. Here's the parable. And we'll talk about this. Because the Lord answers again. He answers this request of his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. So this morning, the title of my message is, With Christ in the School of Prayer. I've got 4 points here. First one is grade school, okay? The grade school of prayer. What is the grade school of prayer? Secondly is high school praying. Next is college praying. Next is graduate school praying. First off, look at verse number 1, we see here. There's one thing that his disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ. You think if you were with the Lord here on this earth, what would you ask him to teach you to do? I mean, he walked on water, he raised the dead, he performed miracles, he preached the greatest messages ever heard. And what would you request of him? Well, it's very interesting to me that the one request to the Lord was this, Lord, teach us to pray. And it says, and it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, and I believe that you would all agree, we'd all be in agreement that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time here upon this earth. So why was it even necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ and all his power? Do you know the Bible says that by him, by Jesus, all things were created. By him, all things consist. You have life and breath this morning for one reason, is because the Lord gives that to you. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And you think, the great God, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, why does he have to pray? You know, the Lord came here for one reason, seeking to save that which was lost. That led him to the cross, to die for our sins, your sins and mine. But another thing that he accomplished here on this earth is that he taught you and I how to live on this earth. He was the example for us. The Bible says he was in all points tested like you and I, yet without sin. You read in Philippians chapter number 2 that he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, born in a manger. I don't think anybody here was born in... Now, your mother told you, are you raised in a barnyard, you know? But I don't think anybody here was born in a barnyard. I know I was. I was born in a hospital. Okay? Jesus was made lower than the lowest. He was born to a poverty-stricken family. For 30 years, he humbled himself before he even went public, and working alongside his father, there was the carpenter from Nazareth, humbly working day after day. You know, another thing that the Lord did is that he did not lay aside his deity when he came to earth, but he did lay aside his power, and he yielded all his power and all his control unto his heavenly Father. You know, the Lord Jesus never did a miracle. He never started his public ministry until an event took place in his life, and that was after his baptism with John. He saw the Holy Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, anointing him. The word Christ means the anointed one, that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did here on this earth was not in his own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you're supposed to accomplish things here on this earth? Are you supposed to accomplish them in your own power and in your own strength? No. You know how you're supposed to get things done here on this earth? In the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we are supposed to walk by the Spirit of God. The Bible commands you to be filled with the Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ prayed because he was in utter dependence upon his heavenly Father. He put himself in subjection to the Father. And so what's given to us this morning, we'll talk about the Lord's Prayer just momentarily, is not really the Lord's Prayer. You know why? The Lord never said, "Forgive us this day." He never had to ask forgiveness for anything. This was an answer to his disciples' request, "Lord, teach us to pray." Here's how you guys pray, okay? He's going to give them a pattern of prayer, a pattern of prayer. As it says in Matthew chapter number 6, that's probably what we're most familiar with in the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Pray after this manner." He didn't say, "Pray this prayer." He said, "Here's a replica of praying. Here's a model prayer." Man said to his wife, said, "I'm the model husband, aren't I, honey?" She said, "Yes, you are. You are a small replica of the real thing." Okay? And you know what the Lord gave us? He gave us a small replica here of the real thing. Here's what you're praying is to look like. Here is the model prayer that you are to pray. And one of the first things that the Lord says is something that we hear out of his mouth. "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus was the mightiest in one aspect of his life. He was mighty in prayer. I want you to notice another thing that the disciples say. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is John the Baptist. Out there in the wilderness, you know, clothed in camel's hair. The Bible says he's eating locusts and wild honey. Somebody said one time, there's a locust tree, you know, and he ate the fruit off the locust tree. But I believe that John was definitely at least tough enough to eat locusts if he wanted to. And he was a man's man living out there in the desert. And here comes the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's saying, "The axe is laid to the root." He said, "You're cut off." He said, "We're Abraham's children. God could have these stones raise up children." I mean, he was a preacher, man. He was a man's man, a man of God. This guy, this tough, this macho guy, one thing that marked his public ministry was the fact that he prayed. You know, in God's Word, let me tell you something this morning. You are your own special snowflake, okay? It's my word of encouragement this morning. I'm working on that, you know. You are your own special snowflake. You are unique. God did make you special. There's no one else in this world that has your fingerprints, that has your DNA, that God made you who you are. The Bible says God knew us before the foundation of the earth. And so there's people in here that have all different, and they have different spiritual gifts, different spiritual capacities, different temperaments, different strengths, different abilities. And, you know, you study God's people. People have done vast things, great things for God. Men and women, you'll realize that, man, there's ones that are big and tall. There's ones that are short and skinny. There's ones that are loud and boisterous. There's ones that are quiet. There's people that have great creative ability. And then there's other people that just have a spirit of pioneering. I mean, they're just going to go out there and they're going to get it done. And there's all different types in the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something. They all have one common denominator. And that is prayer. Let me tell you something about your Christian life. You will never rise higher in your Christian life than your prayer life. God said this, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. And so my life is to be in utter dependence upon God. And my utter dependence upon God is going to lead me to not just have prayer time, but to have a prayer life. We know this, don't we? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. That means don't even stop. That means keep God on the line. I say, how am I supposed to do my job and do this and talk to people and everything else and keep on praying? How many have a phone here? Okay. How many said, now my wife's great with this. You know, let me tell you something, women. Guys' mind only can stay focused on one thing. That's why you tell your, you know, if your husband's watching TV and you really need to communicate, you need to shut the TV off, okay? Because I can sit there and I am oblivious. Man, that has just sucked me in. You know what's really hard for me is when I'm talking to my wife on the phone and then she's talking to the kids and then she's talking to, you know, Timmy and Adriana, and I am so confused. I mean, and I'm trying to drive the car. I almost wrecked my car just trying to focus on all this conversation that's going on. But you know, what we do is that we keep God on the line, and when I am busy doing other things, mine might not be focused upon the Lord, but I always am connected to the Lord. You want to revolutionize your life? Everything that you do, every conversation that you enter into, every time you're doing something at work or whatever, that you respond to the Lord. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Hey, you know, one of the biggest things that gets us in trouble is this mouth. The Bible tells us that. You know how much less trouble I'd get into is every time I ever talk to somebody, I say, Lord, please guide this conversation. And I'm saying, I am yielding this thing unto you. Please help me. Okay? And so here is grade school. Number one thing is that you need to pray. And let me tell you something. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he does not want you to pray. He'll confuse your mind as far as regarding prayer. You read some books on prayer, it's like you have to jump through this hoop, then this hoop. You got to say this. You got to say this at the end. You got to say this at the beginning. And all these things where God just wants you to pray. I remember, how many of you remember when the book came out, The Prayer of Jabez? Now, it's like kind of like, it's a good book. I read it. I got it somewhere. And, you know, a lot of people thought, you know what? We found some secret little portion of scripture down somewhere in the Bible that, man, there's an avenue we never knew about before where we'll get things from God. I have a friend, his name is Greg Roller, down in Oklahoma City. And he said, a friend of him said, man, Greg, you got to pray the prayer of Jabez. He said, he got back to him a few weeks later. He said, man, he says, things have been going awful in my life. And he's telling me this. He said, I said, did you say the prayer of Jezebel or Jabez? You know? And here's the thing. I'm going to pray the prayer of Jabez. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer. Where God just says, you pray. Let all your requests be made known unto God. The common denominator of all good Christians is that they are praying. Every failure in my life, every failure in your life, as a Christian, is a failure in one area of our life, our prayer life. Every failure in the Christian life is a failure in our prayer life. Here's grade school. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. Here's a pattern that the Lord Jesus gave us. And here he says, here is the inner workings. Here's the basics of our prayer life. He says, you say in prayer, our Father. This was unique to anybody else or any dispensation you'll find, any time period in the Bible. This is unique, where someone addresses God as their Father. He says, number one, he says, recognize your relationship to God as Him being your heavenly Father. Again, here God is comparing a relationship here on earth to a relationship that we are to have with God in heaven. Look at the last verse there that we read. Verse 13, it says, if ye then being evil, okay, ye then being sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father, which is in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him? So he says, if you're fathers, and you know, I preach in jail, and I believe that you know the guys in jail, they've got some problems, but I think that that the fathers there in particular, if I said, hey, if there was an intruder in your home, and it's either you or your children, what would you do? I believe that every single one of those men would say, I will lay down my life, and I wouldn't even think about it twice, for my children. Now, it's much harder, fathers, for us to live for our children than it is to die for them. It's easy to die, okay? But it's harder to live. And so it says, hey, you fathers are sinners, and you know how to give good things to your children. How much more shall the Father in heaven give good things to them that ask of Him? The number one thing and the secret in our prayer closet is recognizing God as our heavenly loving Father. In Matthew chapter number 6, we won't turn there, but there's three secret places where your Father in heaven rewards you openly. It says, if we give, it says, the Father which seeth in secret will reward us openly. Jesus says, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray. It says, enter into your secret place and pray. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Shall. I say maybe, perhaps, if. And then the Lord says, when you fast, don't be as the Pharisees, and they make a public show of it. But when you fast, He says, fast in secret, and fasting and prayer, we know, are hand and glove, okay? And He says, when you fast in secret, your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. I need to understand, when I go in the prayer closet, that I don't have a God that says, man, you dirty, rotten, you know, joker, Jackie, what in the world are you coming to me for? I know everything you've done, man. Let me tell you something. God is not your accuser. In the prayer closet, who's your accuser? The devil. And so, man, I go in the prayer closet, I get resistance, and I think, man, God does not want to hear from me. That is not the voice of God. God is your Father. How many of you fathers here say, boy, I don't like fellowship with my children at all? You know, that's why we have children. It's not because we save money on your taxes. I mean, you get a little bit, but you know, it costs like $200,000 or something, they say, for each child to raise a child. We pay the $200,000 bill for one reason. It's for a relationship. And so when I go into my prayer closet to pray, I need to realize that I'm praying for my Father. And here's some certain things that I pray for in my prayer closet. And it says, in verse 2, it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. Okay, high school praying is realizing that I have a Father that I pray to, and I pray that His will be done. Let me ask your father something. Or parents, let's just make this more general. Do you know what your kids need better than they do? Let me give you an example. Our son Timmy's 4 years old. Man, he's just a violent little kid, man. You know, he likes guns and swords and pirates, and he's got a little toy hand grenade at home. He calls it his bomb, and he loves blowing you up. You come to our house, he'll probably blow you up. Okay? And he would love, and I mean love, a real sword. I said, Daddy, can I have a sword? I say, sure, son. If that's what you want, I will give you this. Here, I got you this samurai sword. Here, it's razor sharp. Feel it. Man, you can shave with that thing. Here you go, son. Have fun with it. You know what? He would be a detriment unto himself and to everybody else that lived in that home. You know, my God says no many times to things that we ask for. How many ever had buyer's remorse? Thought you wanted something, you signed the dotted line, and you had a sick feeling in your stomach about a week after the new car smell went away, right? You know that the Father knows best what I need and what I have need of, that He's watching over me. And so when I'm praying and I'm making requests, and it says, let all your requests be made known unto God, that the ultimate thing is, Lord, here is my request. Here's what I think best. However, thy will be done. God's got your best interests in mind. Got Timmy's best interest in mind. I've got Adriana's best interest in mind. They might ask me for something crazy. I know Adriana's aunt has a pink iPhone, and you know, she saw that pink iPhone, she asked me, you know, and sure, honey, a six-year-old needs a pink iPhone. Here you go, right? That God understands what we have need of. I say, thy will be done. But He does say this. He says, pray for provision, pray for pardon, and pray for protection. Look at this, verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Every daily need I'm to bring unto God's throne. And it says in verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. There's two things there. One is I'm asking for forgiveness for myself, and forgiveness, I'm forgiving to God, to other people, saying I forgive those that have sinned against me. And then lastly, I pray for protection. You know that you and I need protection. Do you know, let me tell you something. You are no match for your adversary, the devil. The Bible says about mankind, he's made a little lower than the angels, okay? The devil's a big, powerful angel. And all the way down the line, then there's some really wimpy angels, okay? And you know what the Bible says about you? That you're made a little lower than the lowest angel. That means the wimpiest angel in heaven can lick the fire out of you, okay? I mean, he can whoop you. He can put a hurting on you. The Bible says, I wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have to come to the understanding that every battle in this life is a spiritual battle, that we wrestle against spiritual entities, against spiritual forces, and I need protection. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, he says, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Every need, daily bread. Forgiveness, every day I ask for the things I've done wrong. And then I ask also for protection. Next thing here, as I want you to notice, our parable. Very briefly. Verse 6, it says, for a friend of mine, look at verse 5, I'm sorry. Verse 5, and it says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For the friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall not answer, or shall answer and say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. This part of the country is not this big on panhandling. A little too cold for that, you know. But I know down in Oklahoma City, where we spent 10 or 11 years down there, there's a lot of people standing in the corner, you know, holding up. I remember one guy held up a cardboard sign and said, why lie? I want beer. And so everybody, you know, everybody give to that guy. At least he's honest, right? And so, you know, I always had in mind, that, you know what? I'm not going to give. Steve's over here panhandling. I am not going to give him a stinking dime. But then he comes up to me and says, man, you know, I really, really just need a few dollars. I'm hungry. And I don't, you know, I thought, no, I don't have anything. Well, no. Then finally I said, okay, fine. How many ever done that? You had to set in their mind that you're not going to give this scoundrel right here, not going to give him a thing. And then he pleads and he begs and he asks. And then you finally break down and say, okay, fine. I will give you something. Now here's the friend. Importunity means beg. That's what it means. It says his importune friend finally breaks down and gives you what you want. there's other parable in Luke 18. We're not going to turn there. But it says, he spoke a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He talked about a lady who went up to an unjust judge continually night and day. And the judge finally says, you know what? I do not fear God. I don't respect man. However, because of her much pleading, I will give her what she has need of. Then we see in this portion, so what should you, being evil, father, if your son asks for bread, you would give him a snake, or for an egg, you would give him a scorpion. For something that he asked for good, you would give to him something evil. Here's what the Lord's doing here, okay? God is not an unfriendly neighbor, okay? God is not an unjust judge. He's not an unjust judge. He's a righteous judge. God is not an unnatural father. So what the Lord Jesus is doing there, he's giving you a contrast, because he says, if these evil people or these unrighteous people act that way, how much better, right? How much better is the Lord going to ask, or going to answer your prayer? So here is college level praying. It's persistence in prayer. You say, why would God persist? Look at, ask for persistence from us, to ask us to continually pray. Verse number 9, it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So ask when you have a need, and seek, and look in prayer. And when the doors are closed in front of you, you knock at those closed doors. Now, Abraham, in the book of Genesis, he pleads and he continues to pray for the city of Sodom. You know, and here's what we call an anthropomorphism in the Bible, where God takes on human form and says, God went down and sought out the city, okay? Sought the city of Sodom. So Abraham first says to God, for 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? You think God knew how many righteous people were in there? He said, okay, well, I'll go down there and check it out, Abraham. Okay? God already knew. But here's a struggle in prayer. Well, you know what? There's not 50, Abraham. Well, how about for 40, 30, all the way down to 10? And he keeps on pleading and he keeps on begging with God. And he gets them all the way down to 10. And you know what the answer ends up being? We're going to destroy the city. You know, if Lot would have just won a few of his friends to Christ, that city would have been spared. Okay? And so there's not enough righteous in there. Let's get Lot and his wife out, and we're going to destroy the city. So God says no to Abraham's prayer. He continued in prayer. And you say, what benefit did Abraham get in prayer? You know what benefit Abraham got in prayer, got in his prayer life? Two times in the Bible, it says, and Abraham was a friend of God. God says about Sodom, he says, shall I keep from my friend that which I do? You know why God seems to resist sometimes in our life? It's because God made you for one reason. God went to the cross for one reason, and that was to have a relationship with you. How poor would my relationship be with Christ if every time I asked, immediately the first time the words left my mouth, that God would give me the answer? You know, God is more than just a rabbit's foot. Hope you're not just checking a box this morning in church saying, well, I've been there Sunday, so my week should turn out good. Right? Is that this is about a relationship. Your prayer life and your importunity, your begging has about you developing a relationship with God. There's another story of this in the Bible. It talks about the disciples. It says on the Emmaus Road, it says, Jesus would have made as if he would have gone on further, but they constrained him. And it says they made the Lord Jesus stay. Of course, it wasn't by physical force, but they were talking to the Lord and begging with the Lord, pleading, no, please stay with us, please stay with us, please stay with us. And it says, because of this, their eyes were open. Jacob, sir, planner, deceiver, in the Bible, is coming between the devil and the deep blue sea. His brother Esau's there with 300 soldiers going to wipe him off the face of the earth. Laban is behind him. He can't go back there. And then he wrestles with God, if you recall, all night long. I will not let you go until you bless me. All night long, and the Bible says he changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. one who prevails with God. Syrophoenician woman comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to her, it's not me. He says, heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. And the Lord says, it is not meet for me to give the children's bread unto dogs. You know what he's calling her? A dog. Then why in the world would the Lord do that? She says, yea, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And it says that she fell and she worshiped him. And the Lord said to her, be it unto thee, great is thy faith. You know another reason why we have to continually ask God? Is because he is building our faith. You know what I learned a lot of times? That if I had immediate answers to prayer, that I'd be so stinking proud that I wouldn't even know what to do. I mean, I'd probably write a book about what a great prayer warrior I am. But you know what happens as we beg and as we plead with God and we persist in prayer? That he conditions our heart to receive that blessing. That he gets us ready for it. He conditions us. A lot of times when I go in to ask the Lord in prayer something and I pray continuously about that, I realize, you know what? At some point, what I'm praying for is probably not even the best thing for me. You know, there's another reason why God makes you persist in prayer, because a lot of times when we pray for something, we don't really want what we are praying for. Learn one thing about praying is that when we persist in prayer, usually God doesn't even change the trial that I'm praying about or the thing that I'm praying about. But instead, he just gives me the grace to say, hey, you're going to go through it, Jack, but you know what? I'll give you the strength to deal with that. Persistence in prayer. Last thing here. Last point. Talking about college praying. Here's graduate praying, okay? Verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know that God is the answer for everything. Disciples had a big crowd down there at the Sea of Galilee, out in the desert, and 5,000 men besides women and children. And they said, Lord, send them away that they may get bread. Do you know you never had to send anyone away from Jesus to get the answer? You know, ultimately, the answer to every prayer, it all boils down to this, is that we're asking God for more of himself, saying, God, I need you in my life. Let me tell you something, is that you don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to be in you if you're born again by the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have all of you that he wants to have. And when I'm really praying, I'm really doing business with God, I'm just saying, God, would you show up? Would you use me? Would you take control of my situation? Would you take control of me? You know, to be full of the Holy Spirit means to be in the control of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. I can't make the Holy Spirit do what I want him to do. Only thing I can do is yield my life unto God and yield to his will, to his control over what he wants me to do in this life. All true praying is for me asking for more of God in my life. You know, most praying is this. What you pray for, so-and-so, they need a job. What you pray for so-and-so, they're feeling sick. Would you pray? You know that most all prayer requests that are given fall into two categories, health and wealth. Let me tell you something. Ultimately, you and I, we're going to get sick and die. You know, I believe, and trust me, again, we go back to point number one, is pray for everything. Pray for everything. And let me ask you something. Is your health an obstacle to you serving God? Say yes. Lord, heal me that I might serve you. Is your wealth an obstacle to you more doing more for God in a greater capacity? You know why God doesn't give me $1 million? Okay, you know why? He can't trust me with $1 million, okay? If he could, I'd have $1 million in my pocket. And so is this wealth, is that an obstacle between my soul and the Savior? Do I need it? And so when I ask and I come to altar praying, I'm asking God for one thing, and that is for more of himself. Let me read these few verses and we're done. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here's some of his prayer requests for other believers. And I thought it would be appropriate to read these and listen to the spiritual depth here. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. So that's a prayer request for the Philippian church. Prayer request for the church in Ephesus. Chapter number 1, verse number 16 of Ephesians. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit, wisdom, and revelation, and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Here's the church in Colossians. Here's my prayer request for you in Colossae. Here's my prayer. Listen again, here's the spirituality of this prayer. Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know what that is? Asking God for more of himself on their behalf. Grade school, pray. High school, pray according to the Father's will. College, praying in faith to the Father. I'm realizing I'm praying to a Father. And lastly, praying. Here's a graduate school, praying for the best things. Spiritual needs, more of God in our life. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And maybe we just need to talk to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Help me in the school of prayer. Help me to be a better prayer warrior. Each and every one of us has room for improvement in our prayer life. Say, Lord, teach me to mature and teach me to graduate to the next level of praying. Above all things, pray. Let's have a word this morning of prayer together. Lord, we thank you for just a great encouragement of this text. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you're a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you that you have the best intentions for us and for our lives. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. It's by testimony of an uplifted hand. You say, I know for sure if I had to die, I'd go to heaven. And I know I'm saved this morning. You slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Not 100% for sure that I'm saved. And my prayer request is that I just have that peace in my heart that I know I'm a child of God. That's your prayer request this morning. You slip up your hand. All right. God bless you. The altar's open. However God spoke to your heart, you can speak to him.